The book of Daniel, which is the focus of our current sermon series, is hitting pretty close to home these days. You'll recall that Daniel had seen the decline and fall of his nation, Judah. He had seen the corruption, wickedness, and rebellion of his own people and its leaders against God. For that reason, God's righteous wrath fell on the nation. The country was overthrown, its buildings destroyed, its faithless and corrupt leaders cast down, and its citizens, which included Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were taken in captivity into Babylon, reputedly the most wicked kingdom in the world that the world has ever seen. Revelation 16:19b says of Babylon's fate, God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. This was not just the destiny of literal Babylon, but will be the destiny of every nation, people, and ruler who is like her. That should be a great consolation to every Christian who suffers brutality at the hand of nations, peoples, and leaders who do unjust and heinous things to them. But first and foremost, every Christian is to pray sincerely that such nations, peoples, and leaders come to faith in Christ through the preaching of the gospel and to give up their evil practices and perversions. After all, if God takes no delight in the death of the wicked, but rather desires that they should turn from their evil ways and live, so should we. But not all who hear the good news will respond in faith to the good news and a new way of living. Most will continue in willful rebellion against God, and should they have the power to do so, they will single out Christians for particular persecution and even death, for they hate the God of our faith. And even though it can sometimes seem like the strength of their arm is more powerful than the arm of God, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that to be a lie. The life of Daniel and his friends in Babylon also reminds us that the dominance of evil regimes is short-lived and their doom certain, even if it takes decades or centuries or millennia before the judgment by God is realized. In the meantime, Daniel and his friends learned how to thrive in Babylon, and so can we. The title of our current adult education series is Thriving in Babylon. How to thrive in Babylon, the Babylon of our culture, is something we need to learn because, perhaps like me, you're deeply grieved at what you see going on all around you in the world. Perhaps like me, you're finding it disturbingly and distressingly easy to draw certain parallels between our country and capital and Daniel's country and capital on the cusp of its fall and destruction at the hands of the Babylonians. The trajectory toward Judah and Jerusalem's fall and destruction started from within, at the hands of their own leaders and citizens, being ones who did not live up to their nation's faith, their nation's values, its laws, or its founding principles found in the Word of God. But it was King Nebuchadnezzar who sealed the deal by conquering the nation, transplanting the cream of the crop of its people, and carting off the temple's treasures to a foreign land where foreign gods were worshipped and the captured people conscripted into the king's service. Daniel and his friends were caught up in Nebuchadnezzar's pursuit of world domination. They weren't responsible for the fall of their nation, but collateral damage in that fall. And who wants to be collateral damage in something as bad as that? Well, that's how I feel these days, not only as a citizen of our nation, but as a Christian in our nation. So I'm left wondering, how am I supposed to thrive in Babylon? How am I supposed to negotiate waters that seem to have turned order into chaos, transformed a law-abiding society into a lawless one, and thrown respect for and obedience to the word of God to the wind with such alarming rapidity, force, and effectiveness? For one thing, we need to realize that there's nothing new under the sun. What's unfolding before our eyes may be new and surprising to us, but it's not new or surprising to God. The course of history is rife with the rise and fall of evil and wickedness, rife with people suffering at the hands of unjust, callous, power-seeking and power-grabbing individuals. There's no need to scratch our heads as if somehow our generation would be exempt from the tragic reality faced by every other generation. The tragic reality that events precipitated by fallen human beings result in other human beings being collateral damage. That being said, and it is a critical thing to be said, God is in control. And God will have the last word over the evil perpetrated in world history. He already has. And it's a word of perfect justice and eternal recompense upon the evildoers of this world and upon the devil who inspires it and drives it. To thrive in Babylon is never to forget this, that justice will be served and that God has the last word. No doubt as Daniel and his friends were marching in chains to Babylon and subjected there to a culture and beliefs that were foreign to them, they reminded themselves of this over and over again, that justice will be served and that God will have the last word. Where did they turn to bring this comfort and consolation to mind? Where did they turn to stoke the fire of their faith? What did they do to encourage themselves in the midst of discouraging times? They turned to the Word of God, and especially the Psalms. The Word of God has a proven track record when it comes to helping those who live in Babylon to thrive in Babylon. The Psalms were the prayer book of Daniel and his friends, and it's the prayer book of Christians today. The Word of God was the source of Daniel's and the others' peace, stability, and strength while living in Babylonian captivity. Is it the source of our peace, our stability, and our strength as well? Our bulwark against the powers of evil that seem so large and in charge in the world is the Word of God. It is the worship of God. Our sword and shield against powers that seem impervious to the restraint of their lawlessness and pursuit to crush the faith of Christians on earth is the Word and worship of God. This is the lesson Daniel and his friends teach us about how to thrive in Babylon. It's by the Word of God and the worship of God. But the Word of God will be of no good or use to us if we don't read it. And it won't do us any good or be of any use to us if we only read it and don't apply it. And we will miss the power and encouragement of the Word of God if we don't worship the God of the Word. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did both, and so must we if living in Babylon isn't going to weaken or destroy our faith, dampen our zeal, or throw us into a tailspin of discouragement and doubt. But like Daniel and his friends, we can be assured of this, as Psalm 1:6 says, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." We too can have confidence in the truth of the fifth psalm, like Daniel and his friends did, which says, For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor, as with a shield. The Lord did indeed cover Daniel and his friends with favor, as with a shield. Psalm 7 assured them, as it does us, that God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends. I will give to the Lord the thanks due his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Worship and praise is what God is due for his great and mighty promises to us. His promises that nothing will ever separate us from his love for us in Christ Jesus. His promise that he will never forsake us, not even to the end of time, but he will be a very present help in time of trouble. His promise that all things must work together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Which is why the Christian can't help but do what Daniel and his friends did. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Not because mighty King Nebuchadnezzar and mighty Babylon had already been cast down, but because they knew that the day was coming at the hand of the Almighty God that they would be cast down. And so we can join Daniel and his friends in praising and worshiping God because we know the time is coming when, as Psalm 9 says, you have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. The nations have sunk in the pit that they made, in the net that they hid. Their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. The wicked return to the grave, all the nations that forget God. Arise, O Lord. Let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. For Christians who suffered in the past at the hands of evil men and regimes, for Christians now who suffer and are persecuted at the hands of tyrannical governments, and for Christians in the future who find themselves targeted for death and destruction by lawless and powerful leaders. The source of strength, encouragement, consolation, and comfort, and hope is the Word of God and the worship of God. Is that your strategy and mine when the going gets tough? It will be if it's already our strategy when the going is easy. If it feels more and more like we are living in a type of Babylon of our own, there's only one strategy that will enable us to thrive, and it's the same strategy employed by Daniel and his friends. We must employ the Word of God in our daily life and daily worship and praise the God of that Word. Psalm 18 is a good place to start, and one that clearly echoes the sentiment, the practice, and the hope of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah during their Babylonian captivity. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Therefore, we can join Daniel and his friends in taking to heart these words of Psalm 37. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that their day is coming. Mark the blameless and uphold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. Trust in the Lord and do good. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. And that's how to thrive in Babylon, by daring to be a Daniel. Amen.